How is it that I always get stuck with you on rooftop stakeout duty?
I'm sorry, Stu, are we not friends?
It's Eustace, and we never were.
Tease.
Shut up and sit down.
Fine.
Ow.
What now?
Sat on my dice.
Is that a euphemism?
No, see? Actual metal dice.
Where did you get those?
The crazy woman. But you can buy them at MetallicDiceGames.com.
MetallicDiceGames.com?
Yeah. And you can get 10% off from the Rancor's brothel. Or was that for the brothel?
Cecil.
Sorry, what? Yes. 10% off at checkout using code RBP10.
MetallicDiceGames.com, promo code RBP10?
Correct, my friend.
Yeah, we still aren't friends.
Don't care. Damn it.
What is it this time?
I have to pee again.
Just go.
Fine, but no peeking.
Wouldn't dream of it.
Nope, not gonna happen.
What the hell happened?
Nothing. Why didn't we go with the ball-shaving one?
The Rancor's Brothel presents...
You son of a bitch.
What?
I can never tell if you're doing it on purpose.
I wasn't until I realized that you were watching me do it, and then I was doing it on purpose.
Because I'm watching it on the... I'm watching it sit over there and go click, click, click. Oh. So we're back in a real space, gaming in a real place. The coronavirus is still raging, so for those...
Nah, it's over. We beat it.
We flattened the curve, as 9 states have the most outbreaks. Sweet. Science. For the love of God, learn science, people. Anyway, so...
Nah, man, those masks drop your oxygen levels.
Hell. Okay.
Everybody being picked up, and we're following along.
Yep. Nice. I can see it.
It's a good one. Isolate that. Keep that one. You can use that instead of bleeps for Jeff from now on. So anyway, we're playing a fun little thing today. I feel as a leadership and or authority figure, that's weird to say, on the podcast. People have been telling me about Dungeon Crawl Classics for a long time. It's a 500-page book. I'm like, holy crap, this is all old school stuff. There's no way I'm going to read this. This is going to be... another like headache of crazy old rules to learn. I actually picked it up a couple weeks ago. It's not. It seems really, really fun. So I thought I would gather a bunch of other jackasses who like playing crazy stupid games in the same room around the same table and try it. So there's that. What do we want to say about Dungeon Crawl Classics? I mean, none of us have played it yet, but...
I like the cover.
The cover is... Which one? There are many covers, actually.
Uh-oh. That one.
No, that one, the one with the
That's wizard. The one I've seen.
Let's say the one I have has like fucking some sort of blonde
barbarian
like
who
that's a thing they do covers that's DCC's thing, like they print different types of covers, which is kind of cool. All the same edition, this is all the same edition from like 2013, but they have like 30 different covers for their like core rulebook.
Interesting.
Which is kind of a neat idea.
Yeah,
all the same game though. So anyway, we're going to play a little bit of Dungeon Crawl Classics. We're actually playing Sailors on the Starless Sea, which is considered the introduction, the core introduction that everyone has to play. We are playing what is known as a level zero funnel. Every player around the table has 4 characters in front of them. They will be put through a brutal meat grinder of a dungeon crawl, theoretically, and then whoever ends up surviving and getting to 10 experience points gets to actually be a first level character with things like hit points and ability scores.
No longer being an NPC. All right.
NPCs in D&D have better stats than the characters you have.
Oh god.
Some of them, yeah.
So, it'll be a little
different. Rolled a 4 on one of mine. That's barely above sentient.
What stat was it?
Personality.
That's a dump stat.
At least it wasn't intelligence, otherwise you wouldn't be able to read or write.
So yeah, we're all playing, they're all playing as essentially level zero characters that don't have, these are not adventurers, these are not yet anyway. Some of them may survive if they're lucky to get to that point. And this is just, it's a different style of game. It's a different flavor. It's old. The game is kind of weird. It's all based off of Appendix N. It's got some crazy ass rules. This game is metal and it's rule of cool. And it should be a hell of a lot of fun. I'm missing.
If nobody has noticed by now, Cody is super, super fucking excited. And I'm not sure if it's the game or being around a table again.
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. It's fun to come back and to do something that is just going to kind of be batshit crazy. Like, we don't play anything like this. This is, and it's one of the reasons why I'm glad to have these folks around, because obviously Flynn, I've been playing D&D with Flynn for like more than 15 years. Like, we're getting pretty close to 20 years of having played D&D
God,
together, which
I'm
is
almost
crazy.
Dead.
Shut up, Flynn.
I mean, obviously, I've known Daniel for almost the same amount of time, and, like, having taught him how to play 3rd edition a little bit, like, obviously, that was a lot of fun. And, of course, Jeff playing on the podcast. Like, all three of you represent different phases of my role-playing experience, and this is it. This game uses weird dice, so you're going to have me, I'm going to ask for strange rolls. It's going to feel familiar, but just a little bit weird, and that's kind of their shtick. But like I said, it's all rule of cool. It's all making it up as we go along. Which could be pretty cool. Anything else before we get set with Sailors on the Starless Sea? I'll have you introduce your characters in a bit.
Which won't take long because there's not much to them. So
you haven't come up with backstories? I'm going to have voices for all of mine.
Oh my goodness.
What's going to be great is when he loses all four characters and we have to have five or six randoms show up and he has to come up with more characters.
More backstory. More voices.
So these modules that they've done, Sailors in the Starless Sea, it is a zero-level funnel. It by design, doesn't promote a lot of the story, a lot of the whatever. So I kind of wanted to create a loose universe, a loose sort of environment. Obviously, players are going to influence that as well, but I kind of want to give you an idea of where you're at and what's going on. So like Jeff says, I was entirely too stoked, and I did do some prep work, which involved me writing a few more paragraphs than I thought that I intended. But... I will get you into the universe of Dungeon Crawl Classics.
The funky dice. Just get them all together so we don't lose them.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're very odd.
Wait to interrupt until he started. Damn.
Yeah, duh. No, I was going to say, whoever edits this, if we need to redo this, because God knows how many times I'll be interrupted, we'll make it smooth for the audience later. It's a post thing. It is custom in your
village. Schroeder.
Damn it.
Don't edit this.
It is custom in your village that all children, not long out of their mother's arms, are told of your world and how it came to be. The story claims that an eon ago, the land was tamed by ordinary people, and that nature, magic, and even the gods themselves bent the knee to these mortal rulers. They believed this was good, to control the earth as no one had since the creators themselves. Their hubris truly knew no bounds. That great empire was shattered in a reckoning that sundered the very earth, that burned the skies and boiled the seas. It is well known that the world is impossibly old, ravaged by war and scarred by time. Akin to a wild stallion, terra firma cannot be tamed by mortal hands. New nations sought to emulate that powerful civilization, but just as quickly as they rose in prominence, they were struck down by wrathful gods, twisted magics, or horrific beasts. No state has formed in your lifetime, your father's lifetime, or his father's. The land is wild and savage, and the sages advise that one stay within sight of town during the day and shutter yourself within your home at night. Beyond the known paths and borders lay monsters of the foulest sort, and worse. Children learn their place in the great cosmos before they can walk, lest the first steps taken lead them to fates worse than death. Little of these matters bother you, however, in the small farming village of Othaline, as far east as one might travel in the known world. Not that you've seen a map in your life, but the few brave traders who venture to Othaline have told you that beyond your hamlet, the world ends. Only blank parchment left to represent the vast desert wasteland just a few minutes' walk east of the town's border. The broken statues that dot the sandy landscape suggest that once mighty works of an ancient civilization, maybe even the great empire, had stood on this land and held back the desert. But there remain only fragments of these worked stones, semi-buried by the sands of time. The few visitors Othaline receives, desperate for trade to travel so far, arrive from the southwest, on the remnants of what must have been a great road, now reduced to pebbles you can crush between your fingertips. They bring supplies along with outlandish tales of monstrous creatures along the path and relay visions of vast cities that sparkle in the moonlight. Yet they leave Odaline quickly with the bounty of the harvest, running from the only place you have ever known. This is for the best, the elders say. The town is safe because it is far from others, out of the sight of vengeful deities and eldritch magics. At least that's what everyone thought. The problems began with the black water, sludge in the aquifers that turned the young crops a dusty yellow, and made the blood of the children and the elderly run hot with fever. A bad omen, said some. Death was coming to Odaline, cried others. Then smoke rose from the hills to the north, in the direction of the ruins. The same hills from whence the water flowed, where your forefathers had diverted the cool mountain river to harness the scrub brush and desert into semi-fertile soil. An ancient keep rested there, fortified by the land surrounding it. A cursed place. The white was believed so has long been forgotten. Anyone in recent memory who ventured to that forbidden place never returned. Then one night someone went missing, then another the next, then a third. As disappearances continued, someone said the missing had simply abandoned the village. Others claimed they sought the smoke and the source of the bile in the water. Children cried instead, believing monsters had devoured them. Regardless of the truth, you know what must be done. This mystery cannot remain. With your neighbors and kin grabbing whatever was at hand, you've set off into the northern hills, towards the unknown dangers nestled there in an old, ruined keep. So would you like to introduce your characters?
Sure. I have Elric Landers, who is a tax collector, and he has been known for his shady deeds as a tax collector, pocketing money, keeping profits for himself. So, not being able to find much work in his occupation, he decided to venture out and make a living elsewhere. And then we have Ulrik, who is a human shaman, and he's basically out just looking for herbs, medicines, medicinal plants to use. And then we have Bergen Brassrock, a dwarven miner. And with Bergen, we have another human, Bajir Mercer, who is a jeweler, who essentially hired Bergen to help him find some more jewels for his shop. None of my characters really have a motive to help whatever disaster has fallen the town, but if they can kill two birds with one stone, they're going to.
Get
okay.
It.
I also have a Brassrocks, Marek Brassrocks, who is a dwarven chest maker. Chip McCracken, a halfling dyer.
Okay, Josh. Do you have an alcoholic as well?
No. Melody Itali, who is a merchant. And Steve, the animal trainer.
Nice.
What sorts of animals does he train?
Currently, he's working on the pony that he's riding.
How's it going?
We'll see how the rolls go. I'm not sure.
I hope he says crikey a lot.
All right. So I have Trimothy Chalume. He is a brooding, very, very emo barber. He cuts hair because, you know, what's the point? I got Bub Brassrock, dwarven miner. We have Bartholomew Kunch, who is a halfling glove maker. And we have Beezus Honeynut, who is a beekeeper, but refers to himself as a honeymancer.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I hope some of these characters actually survive. Can everybody... So, something else we should probably explain to the audience. Since they are running multiple players, or multiple characters per player, there are certain roles that will happen based on a character basis, and there are roles that will happen on a player basis. So, as the 12 of you are kind of marching up, very much sort of pitchfork, you know, old school mob style, can I have everybody roll me a D10? You all need different results.
Six.
So if we get the same result, we keep rolling?
Yeah.
Seven.
Okay.
Nine.
Six, seven, and nine. Jeff, one of your characters has some knowledge about the ruined keep. Who is it?
Melody Itali. Probably heard rumors somewhere along the trade routes.
Okay. You rolled a six, correct?
Yes.
I'm assuming Melody is she?
Yes.
Melody says, again, I'm assuming that you're all sort of huddled together going up to this keep. Again, no one's been here in decades. She says that rumor has it a sleeping dragon lurks beneath the keep. Accept his quest and he will grant you a wish. That's what she's heard.
Cool.
Daniel.
7.
Correct. Yes. What character of yours imparts some wisdom?
It will probably be, we're going to go with Bashir, the jeweler.
Julian?
I've been rewatching that through the quarantine.
It's so good.
It really is.
It's still my favorite Star Trek series out of all of them. It really is. It's the best as a series, in my opinion. Not the best episodes, but best overall. You rolled a 7?
Mm-hmm.
Bashir says, beware the well. It has swallowed many a poor soul. Flynn.
Yes.
Is it the Beemancer?
It's Beezus.
Oh, Beezus. Beezus, you rolled a 9?
Yep.
Beezus says, look for treasure in the keep's sole remaining tower. A wealth of gold is hidden there.
Is this tower visible from without?
Well, as you continue up the path. All right. No more. These are no more of my
and
words.
And can I smell it?
Yep, that's one of the crazy appendix end things. Dwarves can smell gold. Piles of it up to 100 feet.
We have 3 dwarves, so one of us better smell it.
Yeah.
Again, it's kind of a winding road that leads into the hills, right? And as you sort of crest a hill, you can sort of see a bit of the keep laid out before you. These are no longer my words. These are the ones of the professional who wrote it, Harley Stroh. You stand before the ruined keep, which squats atop a low, craggy hill, its walls of toppled stone and massive granite blocks hinting at forgotten battles and the clash of mighty armies. Now the ruins seem host only to creeping vines and the foul miasma that drifts down from the keep. The air is overrun with pestilence. Fat flies bite at you incessantly, and clouds of small black insects choke your very breath. The long-abandoned land is strangled with thorny vines that drape the sickly trees and hang from the ruined walls. There is an odor of rot and decay as if the hill itself were decomposing from within. A sight gives you pause. A ragged banner depicting a crimson skull on a black field stands high atop the ruined walls. Whatever lurks within has terrorized you and your village for far too long. You turn to your companions and ready your meager weapons. The time for retribution has come. And you get my lovely Pictionary artwork. This is sort of what you see.
That's a penis!
So the road is kind of winding. It's still going to be several minutes travel for you to get down it. It looks like at one point there was a moat or some sort across the keep. Whether or not it held water at one point, it definitely doesn't now. There just appear to be like some 2x6 planks laying across it.
Oh, goodness.
You can see that the walls on this side seem to be relatively intact. The portcullis is open. There is a tower facing you. Beyond, it looks like there is more damage to the keep farther back. You can't quite tell it from here, but definitely the most solid part is the part that the road approaches. It looks like probably, like they said, you would expect towers on the four corners, or at least on several corners. That's the only tower that you can see. So there's definitely more damage to the backside. So I guess your first decision as a group is what you want to do next.
I say scout around to the back to see what's collapsed and maybe another way in.
Yeah, I don't really want to go through the front door. Just barging right in. That's probably not a good idea.
How deep is the moat or the area that was once a moat?
You'd have to get closer to tell. I mean, you would assume, somewhere between 10 and 20 feet, you know, something adequate. It's not down to the pits of hell or anything. Scouting around, it is hilly around there, but obviously the most prominent hill is what the keep sits upon, so you could do that relatively easily. Do you want to go around to the west, or do you want to go around to the east?
West.
Okay, so the keep is sitting on a hill.
Yes.
Is the moat on the hill, or at the base of the hill?
I mean, it's all hilly where you're at. The moat is more like, it's like they cut away the hill and made a trench.
Okay.
You would always be walking uphill, but this was something that was dug as a fortification. Does that make sense? It's not a natural. It's sitting up on a plateau, I guess, would be the best way to describe it.
The tower was towards the east?
Yes, it's the tower's to the southeast.
You made it seem like some of the structure was damaged to the west?
you can't you can definitely see that the walls are less fortified. You don't have a great view from this point, but you can tell, you know, just the general structure that there are crumbling walls both to the west and to the east. You don't get a lot of good visual where you're at. You would have to go one way or the other to see more.
I still think we should go west.
Bubba says, I got a good feeling about west. Brethren, what do you see?
Sounds good.
Okay. As you go around the side, you do see that the northwest corner appears to have collapsed entirely. You can see inside the keep itself. Do we have... The keep's massive wall has collapsed here, spilling cyclopean stone blocks down the rocky slope. The blocks are precariously balanced atop one another like a Titan's game of dice.
So it's caved in.
It's almost as if the wall, like maybe there was a tower there at one point, or another, a higher fortification. It's as if with age, the wall just fell out and down the hill. So it's kind of a rocky grade of stone work that nobody's ever bothered to kind of pick up.
With
it's,
rocks just kind of precariously...
Correct.
Oh, okay.
So there's... excuse me. So there's a entry point here.
Yeah, if you were to scramble up the slope and over the rocks, you could get into the keep.
I see what's happening here. What? Either we scramble up rocks, get our asses crushed, or we fall in a pit. Well, let us keep going. We have to find an easy way in.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're going to continue counterclockwise around the keep?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Beesus is trying to bee whisper right now. He's asking one of his honeybees for
advice.
Beesus gets stung.
I was just saying, that's next. Okay. You don't get very far around. Again, I don't know who's leading. That's something else I should talk about. In terms of marching order, just so I know, essentially for the, again, this is something that's done by player. So basically every player has somebody in front, every player has somebody in back. So who are the leaders for the three of you?
Bub would be my leader.
Okay.
Totally Steve. He thinks he's a ranger.
Nice. Not even a class in this game. Excellent.
Elric is the one who's leading the charge in this one.
Now, Bub is your dwarf, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he was the animal handler and...
Tax collector.
A tax collector. Excellent. You don't get that far before Bub would immediately notice and call a halt to moving around as you kind of move past the... So say the collapsed part was the sort of the 10 o'clock position, right? You don't quite make it around to midnight when you have to stop because the earth falls away. Like, impossibly so.
It's just, it's like there's a precipice.
A yawning sinkhole has devoured nearly a third of the courtyard, causing a tower and wall to collapse and plunge down into the depths. Mist billows up from the sinkhole, obscuring sight. Tortured faces and writhing forms appear briefly in the mists about your heads, only to dissolve back into nothingness as quickly as they appeared.
So basically the hole seems to go down forever from what we can see.
I mean, you can't tell. It's a little bit like...
we can't see the bottom.
I think I'm going back to another Star Trek reference. Isn't there an episode of Star Trek where they like get thrown off the deck into something and they clearly get thrown into what is like a low-hanging fog machine and they just like foomp through the clouds? It's kind of what it is. It's a giant, massive... It's in a sci-fi movie. If it's not Star Trek.
I know exactly what you're talking about and I cannot think what it's from.
I was hoping enough Trekkies were here to remind me which one it is. But like, I just remember a character like falling off and they just foomp into like misty nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
You're just seeing something that's like the size of 3 football fields, like massive misty nothingness. You kind of look back into the courtyard itself and you can kind of see where the cobblestones are like very precariously held together as like chunks of ground are just missing underneath it. It probably goes down about 20 or 30 feet before, like I said, it's just a wall of mist.
Okay. So we can see a little bit down into the mist.
Yeah.
Okay.
How big are these stones?
The flagstones? The tower itself, or the keep itself, is actually... There's another description here. The keep's walls rise 30 feet from the ramped earth embankments. The walls and all the fallen stones are covered in moss, sickly vines, lichen. Rather than simple carved blocks, the keep seems to have been built of enormous standing stones and mighty dolmens. The blocks are fitted together crudely, leaving cracks between the stones. So these are not like well-worked small stones in terms of the walls. The flagstones probably are more like a natural cobble. So they're going to be bigger, rougher chunks.
Okay.
This is definitely not a well-worked...
No, I was curious to see whether we could work one of these stones over to the edge and tip it over.
Yeah. Just roll it over.
Down into the sinkhole?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you could try.
Let's give it a shot.
This sounds like a job for dwarves. Yes.
Let's go, brass rocks.
Okay. So where are you finding these stones? Which stone are you attempting to heft?
The closest to the pathway that we've been following.
Okay. So you're trying to... Let me do this. So you're where the X is, roughly.
Okay.
Okay. So that was the door into the keep with the portcullis.
Yes.
This is the tower itself. This is the sinkhole. And then this is the rock slide.
Right.
This wall is... meh, fortified. So taking a rock from this fortified wall, you'd actually have to figure out a way to, like, chip it out. You could go back here if you wanted to, but it means playing with the rock slide. I don't think if you're trying to get to this point that you could easily do that, if that's what you're looking to
do. Okay. I thought that the sinkhole was closer to the other corner.
No. Okay. It is not. It's almost as if, like I said, it's as if he drew three towers. One is a tower, one is a sinkhole, and one is a ramp.
Mm-hmm. I've heard this
basically.
Joke.
Your head has the shell on it.
Okay. So we haven't really checked out the tower yet.
Nope.
So that's always a possibility.
Going around this way would be very difficult to continue moving counterclockwise. You'd kind of have to go back the way you came.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Might as well. I mean, we should get all of our options before we decide to take one.
As we're going past the rock slide, I'll have... Bub would probably take a moment to kind of look at it and see, you know, is there an obvious path up? Does it look like there are certain rocks that kind of holding up a number of other rocks that might be
for sure
troublesome?
Can Bub make me an intelligence check?
I sure can.
So roll and add that intelligence modifier.
That's one of my best scores.
Plus the natural 20.
I've always been the smartest of the brass rocks.
You notice a couple of things. Bub. First off, Bub, there's nothing really fun I can do with this 20. It's unfortunate.
It's the only one I'll ever roll.
I can definitely tell you, you can tell these things. Yes, these stones are placed so precariously that one false step would trigger a rock slide and send them all crashing down. You can see a path.
Mm.
You, if you wanted to, could probably trigger it in a relatively safe way if you wanted to try and clear the path.
Mm-hmm.
You also notice that there is, under this buried section, because of the way that it has collapsed, you can tell from the structure that chances are there is a subterranean level to this keep. You're pretty sure buried under this rock would give you instantaneous access to that keep below.
Oh, I relay this.
It probably would require you to somehow trigger the sum of the stones to move. The stones have not fallen in a great way that you can just, like, dig a hole and go down. But if you make the avalanche happen, you could probably get it to clear in such a way as to gain access. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
So there is a path we could go safely. But if we were to trigger it safely, we could potentially open up subterranean access.
If only we had a dwarven miner.
Yeah.
Hey, I swear I'm of age.
Berg and Brass Rock kind of scoffs at your comment about being the smartest of the Brass Rocks. He says, I don't need your help. I can figure this out on my own.
I'm a dwarven miner too, you dumbass. We work in the same mine. We shared a womb together.
You ain't the smartest, though.
That's not true. I rolled a 20.
So do you want to attempt to trigger the avalanche on purpose?
Bergen's going to, if no one else is.
Okay, we're going to wait back towards the gate.
Yeah, no, everyone else in my party is going to wait too, but Bergen, he's definitely, he's determined. He's got to prove his worth.
Okay.
To be the dominant brass rock.
Flynn, your characters?
Hope's my only good character I rolled.
You know, Bergen's probably mine too, but...
Damn it. We're gonna just throw the two useful characters away. But we'll say, now, Bergen, two heads are better than one. That's simple mathematics.
I agree.
What are you thinking, my friend?
Well, kind of pauses and tries to think.
What? Oh, wait, really? He wants...
Oh, God! Stepped on the dog.
For the audience who missed that, my son is apparently taking his first dump on the potty. I just heard him scream from the kitchen, which means he walked from the bathroom into the kitchen. No, mommy told him if he pooped on the potty, she would buy him an Optimus Prime Transformer, so something tells me I need to make an Amazon purchase now.
Nice.
So Bergen pauses, and it's clear that he wants to lead the way, but he wasn't the brass rock to discover this.
Fucking pussies.
He wasn't the brass rock to discover this, how to make the slide come down without causing too much damage and opening the, what was it, the under...
subterranean level.
Yeah, the subterranean level. So he says, all right, I'll follow your lead.
Now,
Mark Brass Rocks walks up, puts his hand, one hand on each of your shoulders, and says, I'm a simple chest maker. If you guys don't make it out of this, I will carve something special on your coffins, and walks back towards the gate.
That's Brass Rock's always so generous.
He's a good kid.
All right, so do you want us to roll something for this?
Hey, so with my 20 as I was peeping up that hill.
Sure.
Did I see, something come to mind? Like, okay, if we were to throw something and hit a certain rock, even from a distance, that could trigger it.
You got a 20, so I think that you know that if you go to the top, you can trigger the slide. The trick is you want to not be caught up in it.
Got to get to the slide. But I also saw a path.
Yeah, you can go up there.
So
from 50 feet away, you hear in Dwarven, you can do it!
Bubba, damn it, I made him lawful. God dang it. Bubba's like, all right, I see the way. I'm going to do it. Here we go. Bubba's going
to
do it.
Does this only need to be a one-man job, you think?
You tell me.
From what it seems, like, is it just...
He seems confident. I definitely won't shift DCs around based on how many people are involved.
Yeah. Bergen's chaotic. I'll go up there with you. We got this.
All right. Okay. Well.
All right. I don't want to do this. All right. We're getting to the first point where I'm going to have to start making shit up. go ahead and I'm going to give you, you can roll D20s. We'll basically make it an intelligence skill check.
Oh, God.
To see how cleverly you can do this.
Okay. Ooh, 3.
4.
Ow! Damn you!
Okay. I'll back it off a little bit because you did kind of know what you were doing. But you didn't roll well enough for me not to get my modifier. The slide goes. You begin to hear just roaring rumble.
Howard did it!
It's almost like you saw them, they're standing, and they're, like, kicking a stone. And you're watching them both stamp
I'm
on a flagstone.
He's like, no, kick that one. No, you kick that one.
And you're, like, seeing it start to tip as they surf down the entire avalanche.
Oh,
writing it down like a nuclear bomb.
Yes. So... It's a melee attack, so first one against Daniel.
I mean, we are both Dwarven Miners, so I feel like, you know...
Daniel does a 10 hit.
That's my exact armor class.
All right.
Convenient.
Flynn does a 7 hit.
Nope. Bulletproof.
Daniel, you are sliding down the rocks. What's the poor character's name who's probably about to die?
Bergen Brassrock.
Brassrock. No.
Poor Bergen. Poor Bergen. You seem to, Bub seems to kind of just surf. Like, if there is a... This is the first person who has surfed in a long time, but you're surfing, you know, down the rocks. You
the
disappear into the rubble.
My return. Oh,
Bergen's just tumbling, cussing down the way.
Yeah.
The whole way.
You somehow maintain your balance.
Bergen, Bergen, just stand up. Bergen.
By the time you can say that, he's already gone behind you into the rocks.
Oh, God! Bergen, no!
For 9 points of damage.
He dead. He dead.
The last thing you see is a yelp of scream and a small dwarven hand as the entire slide just...
Bergen, just get your feet under you. Bergen! Oh, God.
Bajir cusses.
Oh,
that
no,
was,
no,
that was my
no,
one
no.
way to find jewels.
No, from the other direction, you just see 10 signs with numbers held up.
Unfortunately, the avalanche does destroy all your gear, so everything for him is gone.
He didn't have much.
Screw
much
that.
Good
we
for
can
gear.
Smell his copper.
We're going for it. But you do see an entrance appear. As you slide all of that down.
Bergen's name wasn't in vain.
I will give one experience to all the survivors, two for Bergen for somehow being lucky, I guess.
No, I'm Bergen. Bergen's dead.
Oh, sorry, not Bergen. Bub.
So everybody else gets one XP?
Yeah, because it probably was wise not to stand close to that. If you'd have wanted to just walk up, it would have just been a +5 attack on all the characters.
Oh, God.
So yeah, you can see that as the slide comes down, it kind of parts around almost like some sort of natural opening. But when you peer down into that natural opening, you can kind of see flagstone as if it's a subterranean level to the keep. So that is another option that you've now opened up as a possibility.
How is like a hole that we could go into? How deep is?
It's something that you could easily drop down into, say 6 to 8 feet. You know what I mean? It's a kind of a natural cavern. But when you poke your head down into that natural cavern, particularly the dwarves with the infravision, you can see that there is kind of a. You can see where there's flagstone underneath. It's like you've dug down and now can see the basement area below.
So it is a drop down into it.
Yes, it is a small drop.
What the f*** am I going to do with my pony?
Well, Bergen had a 10-foot pole. He could have helped, you know, kind of lower it down there. But
I like how you just made a gesturing lever motion.
But that's, I mean, yeah, you just lower it down. But that's
how do you think poles work?
You have to get the pole into the pony.
No, he was going to balance it on the pony on it. Bergen was a strong man, okay?
I have so many questions. But it doesn't matter, because Bergen's dead.
So what would the now 11 characters like to do?
Bub will say a few words about Bergen. All of them kind of passive-aggressive and derogatory.
He was a damn fool.
Mostly just insulting him.
I mean, to be fair...
He was a good kid.
To be fair, you fumbled just as much. You just didn't get hit. With your armor class.
I'm sorry. Did you not see me surfing?
So yeah, Bajir's pretty mad because Brassrock was his guide for finding some jewels in this location. So I think Elric's gonna suggest that we go ahead and go in this opening. We got one available. No
Bergen
more
died for this.
No more
for this entrance.
And no more risk. So yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Trimothy likes the idea of being underground because it's dark like him.
Wow. Even without Lucas, the emo spirit of the Rancor's Brothel lives
it's
on.
It's too bright out here.
Wait for this one. You squeeze down through the narrow opening, dropping into a small cave below. The air is choked with chalky dust and the pervasive smell of rot. A single shaft of light cuts through the swirling dust to illuminate an enormous stone door set in a portal. To continue the description, the portal is circumscribed in runes. At the center of the door is a large pentagram inscribed within a circle. Both the runes and the pentagram are set with silver and seem to glimmer faintly in the dim light.
Bashir says, I got this, don't worry. He walks up to it, examines it.
Do you want to just lose all your characters?
I mean, this is kind of the reason that Grady wanted Daniel here for this. Because he would throw his characters into a meat grinder.
Yeah.
Bajir's gonna check it out. He ain't gonna touch nothing, but he's gonna check it out.
Do you have any sort of basis in an intelligence role?
Yes.
Whatsoever?
Yes.
Okay. Such as, what is Bashir's job?
He is a jeweler.
Okay.
I figured he'd come. He's come across some kind of magical jewels, and you know, traded and sold.
Okay. I will give you an intelligence roll untrained, because I don't think you're going to get anything for that. So you can roll a d10.
I still get added my bonus, right?
Yes. Mm. For the audience, if you're trained in it, you can roll a d20. If you're untrained, you can roll a d10.
It's a 3.
You're convinced that the runes are sort of a basic, a basic astrology chart, and that the door can only be opened at a certain time of year.
I will relay that to anybody else, just in case any other person might have relative information on this. I'm not an astronomer, so could not tell you.
Steve, as well as being a ranger, has aspirations of being a mage, so he will come up and look.
I suppose I will give you a d10 as well.
Okay.
So I gave it to Daniel.
That's a 5.
Sweet. You don't know anything about astrology or astronomy, so you're like, maybe. Those don't really look like constellations to you. They look more like words, but you can't read them. So maybe this guy's right?
I was just going out on a limb. That's the best I got. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but is this the only thing down here in this room?
Yep.
Oh, well.
But it does. It is a door that leads into the keep, essentially. Mm. It is a portal.
Beezus will approach the door. If it's about time of year, right, he has to keep track of the seasons and the changing, you know, with the bees and the birds and all that. So he'll take a look and try to see if he can discern when this door opens.
Okay. Sure. I'll give you a d20 since you know about crops.
Ooh. That is a 9.
You're pretty sure that none of those words have anything to do with time of year?
My friends, I think we're mistaken thinking of astrology here. It seems like this is something else entirely.
I guess we gotta find a different way in the keep then, because, well, I mean...
Have you tried knocking?
It's a portal. Is there a door there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like just like an open portal that we could walk through. I don't know. Be my guest. Go for it. might trigger another rock slide. Let's see what happens.
Beezus kind of sidles up, looks around. Anything that I notice or Beezus notices?
No, not beyond the runes and everything else.
Okay.
It's dusty down here.
It's dusty. Is any part of it not dusty?
No.
It's all dusty.
The runes probably aren't dusty.
Hmm. Beezus will look around, pick up a rock, back up a few feet, 10 feet.
10 feet. 10 feet is almost the entire space of this cavern. So basically, you've almost got your back against the wall.
I throw the rock at the door.
Clunk. Nothing appears to happen.
Well, that wasn't it. Trimothy will be like, oh, "You guys are so dumb," and he'll walk up. He'll just like smack the door. Open.
It definitely pulls.
Trimoth, is there a handle?
Yes, there's a handle there.
Trimoth's like, oh, such. He takes the handle and
roll strength.
Oh man, Bergen would Trimothy be perfect
is
for
very
this.
Slight. Just a d20 roll.
Yes,
17. Fueled by anger.
You see him. You see him pull, and like there's some movement in the door, but the door does not come open.
Did it open at all? Or did it just...
No, I mean, he pulls, and you kind of feel like you don't know if it's lodged, if it's jammed or something, but it's...
All right, Elric's going to go approach the door, too, and he's got some thieves' tools, so he's going to see if he can't tinker with the door to get it to unbudge.
You're untrained in the thieves' tools, so you can roll a d10.
As he's working on this, Chip walks up, takes his staff from several feet away, and taps one of the runes.
The staff thuds off the stone.
Okay.
Nothing appears to happen.
These tools don't get any bonuses off anything, do they?
No, I think you're just rolling d10 plus agility.
2.
So he pulls out all these, like, tools, and he kind of, like, is like, there's no, like, keyhole. So he starts, like, jamming them in the jam and kind of wiggling them around. mostly ineffectively.
I think you gotta make your own keyhole.
It was worth a try.
I don't scratching at the runes. Nothing appears to happen.
I think this entrance was a bust. Bergen sacrificed himself for nothing.
Like hell, you say? We gotta get through there.
Bub's on up. So it came a little bit.
Yeah, it looked like there was some give there.
Okay, but like, it didn't like open enough to see through.
No, it didn't. He didn't actually move it. But you know, like trying to think when a like in a public building, like you know how when you pull on the door, it's not locked firmly shut. You know what I mean? It's got some give. It's kind of like that. It's like it's wedged shut. It's like he.
Like there's something on the other side that's holding it, maybe, possibly. And just giving it a little bit.
Feels like it would need more oomph.
Man, we could all group together and try to pull.
It's true.
Or I guess not all of us, because we all probably won't be able to fit all of our hands around.
It is
around
a very tight space. I'm assuming that you're kind of cycling characters in and out, because this is only like a 5x10 space. You could probably get 2 on the handle if you really wanted to.
So is there anything like languages in this?
There are.
That we would know that... Maybe you could help decipher some of this, or...
It gives me some suggestions of people who would be able to decipher said runes. I don't remember you saying that you had any characters that would apply to deciphering these runes.
I don't know. What are they?
Dwarf and a halfling.
Negative.
Is it in...
Shaman?
Written in B?
I would give the shaman a roll.
Ooh.
Untrained?
No. I'll give you your d20. Shaman is not listed, but I'll give it to you.
Plus intelligence?
Correct.
Minus intelligence.
Damn it, Daniel.
15.
You are able to get the following translation. The burning purge, which scours the earth. The hardened glamour, stilling life. The baleful storm, heedless to supplication. The raging tempest, devourer from within. Bane's 4 I place upon this gate. Fire, ice, storm, and hate.
Well, we don't have any of those elements at our disposal.
Trimothy's like, pretty sure I have a lot of hate.
Oh, okay.
That's why it would budge for me.
The shaman, what's the shaman's name?
Ulric.
Ulric, you don't think that it is it's not a puzzle. You don't think that there's a puzzle here. There's no need to solve anything. It's more like an arcane beware of dog sign.
Okay.
So there's some kind of big baddie on the other side of the door, guarding something.
Steve is going to push them out of the way and pull out his crowbar.
All right, I will let you do the crowbar. Hey, Jeff, let's use one of the funky dice.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Roll a d24.
Oh, cool.
That one?
Yes. In this game, the dice are on a chain, so since Jeff is using the crowbar, there aren't any rules for it, so he gets to roll a better die than a die 20, so it just steps him up.
That just rolled off of a 20 onto a 6.
Hate that life.
You're working it. You also don't think that this door is actually closed. You think you're all just making terrible rolls. Try it again if you want.
That's a 12.
Oh, what's your strength score? Is it even a plus 1?
No. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that's a minus.
So you see this guy with
I'm
the
not I'm not sure what a 5 is.
It's definitely a minus.
It's like minus 2, I think.
You see this dwarf just...
No, this is a human.
Oh, sorry. This human just... just leaning into this crowbar.
He'll give the crowbar to the halfling.
Okay.
And get a 24.
Ooh, baby!
Excellent! All right, so...
Bergen was here, he'd give you so much shit.
Halfling, we're going to go with halfling, the human with the crowbar, and the shaman. Apparently happened to be in the hole at that point. I did tell you it said beware of dog.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, pick a color.
I can't even see him.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. My bad. I keep forgetting I actually have to roll d20s in this game. I should pull out some d20s. Jeff, we'll do the halfling first.
Okay.
I'm going to imagine a 17 hits.
Probably.
We'll do the human with the crowbar. Apparently this is a trick die because I rolled another 17. Daniel, the shaman.
If it's 17 again, I call bullshit.
If it's 17 again, I'll re-roll them all. Because I will also call bullshit. It's an 8.
Yeah.
Shaman lives on a scene another day, I think.
Jeff.
Yeah.
The halfling. 7 points of damage. The human.
Can luck decrease a roll?
No, it can expand. Could it increase AC? I think it can increase AC.
Might be able to increase AC. Double check on that with the halfling luck. You may be able to burn a shit ton of luck to keep him alive. The other guy, so as you pry this door open, it's like the room just suddenly becomes goddamn napalm. Like, fire just fucking shoots out this door and washes over this entire 10x5 in a giant jet of flame. The human with the crowbar is now just a crowbar because he's just fucking gone. Somehow the shaman must have gotten all the way to the back and crouched. He didn't get destroyed in this magical fire that came flying out of the door.
No, it's just for rolls, increasing rolls.
Damn it.
There goes half my characters.
So the halfling is also roasted a lot.
God damn it. I like the halfling.
Well, maybe you'll find one in a basket here shortly. So you all, the rest of you all hear like some whimpering as you hear some flames and some steam and some screaming and the smell of burnt flesh and hair. Jeff, I will give you, well, that's hard. They both died. I will give you 2 experience points to your other characters. That seems fair. I usually don't like doing experience like this, but you're kind of splitting the party. So Flynn, you, all your characters can have 1 experience.
Okay.
Daniel, the shaman, can have 2, and the other characters can have 1. I'm going to regret this later when everybody levels up at different rates. But that just seems the most fair at the moment.
Oh, wait, no, it's not this one.
And you, for the shaman, what was the shaman's name again?
Ulrich.
Ulrich. You feel this burning singe, and you smell as 2 bodies of characters suddenly are awash in flame, and they
one
die
and
screams of pain. 1.5. Good call. Fair enough. I was rounding up. You know what, though? It wouldn't have mattered for... How many hit points did the halfling have?
4.
Wouldn't have mattered. Never mind. There was a reflex save to take half. It would not have mattered, because I rolled a 7 and a 10. So they die in a gout of flame, but it amazingly, the room cools almost immediately.
Round up or round down?
In this game, probably round up. Roll your d20 reflex save on a... That you could spend your luck on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's 12.
Burn 3 points of luck, and I'll have him at 1 hit point. And you can give him 2 experience points, and your other characters can have 1.
Damn it, I wrote it in pen.
I should also point out, we haven't talked about this. I'm not going to do it for the level 0. I kind of don't want to do it until characters reach a numbered level. You can roll over dead bodies, and there's a chance that you don't die. But when you roll over the bodies, there are massive, massive penalties permanently to your scores. So
wait, what do you mean?
You can look it up in the book, since I don't have the one of them in front of me. Under character death, there's a way in which you can roll over the body and maybe you didn't actually die. You can survive, but you just take massive, like, like, you're permanently scarred, and you take, like, every time you, like, die and get rolled, they call it rolling the body. If you search rolling the body, you'll probably find it. You take, like, a D6 permanent loss to a stat of the judge's choice or something like that. Like, it's nasty.
Oh, man. I would have done that for Bergen.
I don't think you find Bergen's body. Bergen's body is under 1,000 pounds of rock. Anyway, the room cools quickly. As the last wisps of flame fade, you can make out a soft crackling sound rustling in the chamber beyond. An icy chill settles over the air, and your breath condenses into misty clouds. Through the portal, you can make out a low funerary bier. A body lies in repose atop the stone. The body was once a warrior of some sort. It wears a suit of thick hide armor and clutches an enormous battle axe to its chest. The entire chamber sparkles with a soft elfin glow.
Is this body moving at all?
Body
of armor moving?
Negative.
Hmm.
Go touch it.
Well. And that's the only thing in this room?
Yes.
There any doors?
Not that you can tell. The room is completely dark. There is no light source within the tomb. Anybody have a torch?
No.
No, but I've got two characters.
Oh, I have a lantern. Bub has a lantern.
Can you say dwarves could see in the dark too?
Yes, and halflings.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But not very far. I mean, you're 30 feet, I think, for the halfling versus the 60 of the dwarf.
Yeah.
Yep. Once the lantern gets down there, you can see that this entire room, the sort of glow that you're seeing, this entire room is covered in ice. The floor is ice. The wall is ice. The funerary byre is covered in inches of block ice. There does appear to be, as you kind of shine your light around, there appears to be a like a weak spot or something on the far side, as if maybe there's a passage over there that's currently covered by ice. It's hard to tell. You'd have to actually like cross the room to know for sure. But it is a giant frozen like skating rink, essentially.
Is the suit of armor on the ice?
The suit of armor is on the enormous man. You would imagine that this the body of this individual is probably 7.5 feet tall. Appears to be encased in sort of a tomb of ice. This is a sarcophagus of ice.
Is it upright or laying down?
It's a bier, so it's as if he was laid in a repose state on kind of a table.
Think Snow okay. White.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then now he's just coated in like 8 to 12 inches of solid ice.
And all the good stuff is inside the ice.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Okay.
Where did all that fire come from, though? That's what I want to know.
Magic.
It came just out of the door, right? Like, just directly out from the door when we opened it?
Yes.
Okay.
Can Ulrich make me an intelligence roll?
Sure can. 11.
Fire and ice.
The song?
Storm and hate. So, where's the storm and what hates what?
I already told you.
You didn't tell me what you hate. You just said you're
everything.
Full of it.
He is the embodiment of hatred.
The burning purge which scours the earth, the hardened glamour stilling life, the baleful storm heedless to supplication, the raging tempest devourer from within, banes four I place upon this gate, fire, ice, storm, and hate.
The hate is probably inside the ice. The body inside the ice.
It says that the ice is stilling life, right?
The hardened glamour stilling life is the second line, I think, is what you were wanting to hear.
Mm-hmm. Which means if the ice is gone, that dude might get up.
That's probably
yeah.
the case.
That's why I was curious to where the fire came from, because I didn't want it to happen again and, you know, unmelt the ice.
Yeah.
You guys having fun with Dungeon Crawl Classics yet?
Yeah.
Storm.
And there's nothing else we see in here. All we see is just the sarcophagus, ice, berg, block.
Yep.
I mean, it's probably pretty big. And then something on the other side of the room that might be another passageway.
Yeah.
A weak spot or...
Yeah, it's hard for you to tell for sure. I'm assuming at this point, given that there was just a gout of fire that killed two people, you probably are like poking your heads in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is extremely cold just even being at the door. It's like opening a walk-in chest freezer. It's cold.
Elric's going to suggest that we go across the passage and look at that wall that seems to be destroyable, maybe.
Sounds fair.
Cool.
And
how big is this chamber?
It didn't necessarily give me an exact size. It probably is going to take you, let's say 60 feet. It'd take you about 2 rounds to walk from one end to the next.
Is the ground completely iced over, so we have to kind of take it slow, or?
The floor appears to be solid ice as best as you can tell.
Elric wants to see if he can search for traps on his way across the ice. He'll take lead.
So you're going to go ahead and step out onto the ice?
Yep.
Can you make me a reflex save?
Oh, God.
A reflex save is just base, right? There's no bonuses?
Yep. That's, if I understand the rulebook correctly, you are +0 on your saves.
I mean, I don't have any...
So you've probably got a bonus.
Plus agility.
I don't have no agility, so it's 12. So it's 0. 16.
Ooh.
You see him, you step out onto the ice, and it's Ulrich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ulrich steps out onto
the... Oh, sorry, no, that's Elric.
Elric.
Elric, yes.
Elric steps out onto the ice. You, like, kind of do the whoop, 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 with, and you kind of catch your feet and you can kind of walk, but it is very, very slick.
All right. Well,
like you put your first foot on and you started sliding immediately.
You guys be careful now if you're going to follow me.
Is anyone following?
Hmm. No.
This one's Elric's.
It's gonna sound, yeah, this is
So yeah, I guess Elric will venture across, and like I said, if he can search for traps, he is going to do so.
So you're going to take your time?
Yes.
Okay. Can you make me a fort save?
19.
Ooh.
As you walk in, it just continues to get colder and colder as balls.
Can I make some kind of check to know if I continue going, if I'm just going to start freezing? Like, how is his body feeling? Like, is it...
Awful. Like, you don't feel like your movement is impeded or anything, but you feel terrible. It is unbelievably, unbearably cold.
Okay, he's going to keep going until he feels like he might not be able to move anymore before he turns back.
Okay. How about you make me another fort save?
Oh, boy.
13.
Okay. Since you're moving cautiously, looking for traps, looking for anything out of the ordinary, it all just feels like a frozen lake. You're not seeing anything. At this point, you've made it to sort of the funerary byre. You've made it halfway across the room. It is still unbelievably cold. You don't feel impeded yet, but Elric is incredibly uncomfortable. Taking a look at this, this man is, and it, calling it a man is saying something, because like you said, he's 7.5 feet tall. Appears to be relatively well preserved inside several layers of ice. His armor is impeccably made, looks fantastic, appears to be sewn from thick hide and covered in fur. So, I mean, the corpse is probably warm. The axe is massive. The axe is like the size of your torso. It's huge. Unbelievable craftsmanship on it as well. And as Jeff said, unfortunately, the corpse and its treasures are all frozen within the ice.
Just found Freddie Mercury in the handbook there.
I like it.
I just opened that page randomly. Elric isn't too concerned about the body because, for one, he doesn't want to disturb it. Secondly, he is eyeing that axe, but he knows that he probably won't be able to even carry it if he was to able to snatch it out. So if he's still feeling the same as he was before, he's going to cautiously venture more towards the wall.
Okay, how about another fortitude save?
A one.
Oh, wow.
Spend that luck.
I guess
not on a one.
No.
Oh. Ones are always bad.
Oh.
As you now have stepped, you're now 3/4 of the way across the room. You've kind of pushed past the buyer and you're again moving slowly. It sort of tippy toeing. You just suddenly feel so racked with cold, like the pain, you're starting to feel pains in your stomach. Like you're basically doubled over in pain. You're barely able to move more than just a few feet from the buyer. Yeah, and fuck it, you rolled a one. You fall.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
You're laying on the cold.
So can he start crawling back?
Hey, you can, yes. Do you want to stand or are you going to crawl?
Probably crawl until I can get some more warmth back.
You are moving incredibly slowly if you are crawling. Make me another fort save.
A 10.
At this point, you are barely moving.
How far away is he?
He got about halfway, because he was moving cautiously, he got about halfway across the room. He's at the funerary byer, so say basically one round from the door if you're moving at normal speed.
So can the halfling Tauntaun Steve?
I'll allow it. So what's your plan here?
I'm not sure. I'm really thinking about gutting Steve and using him to stay warm in this room.
That's fucking horrifying. Just wearing his skin like a suit.
I mean, he was just roasted alive. I'm sure he's warm on the inside still.
He's probably toasty, yes.
It's a creepy flesh scarecrow.
Especially because you got to realize the halfling is half the size of him, so.
Just needs the torso.
That's even worse. Yeah, it's cut like the legs E.T. off,
hopping across. Like... arms dragging behind him.
Oh, so you're going to wear the ass on your head then?
The arms are dragging behind him. No, the body's arms. The body is upright, and the arms are dragging behind him.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Whew. Welcome for the image, listeners.
Yeah.
I'll allow it. Hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll give it a try.
Okay. give me that sweet reflex save while wearing a body as you attempt to cross the room.
That's a 9.
As you gut the body, you see him shirk it on as kind of an armor. You immediately step out of the ice and just bust your ass and fall down.
But I'm warm.
You're warm for now. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. You're warm for now. Flynn, anything any of your characters would like to do?
Anything, like, is the entire room sheer ice, like up the walls, ceilings?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so I'm right inside the door, right?
Yes. You basically have busted your ass and fallen within 5 feet of the door.
I'm going to chuck my staff back to the guys in the room. Pool cue.
Bub nods.
I make a strength roll.
Bartholomew Cunch is gonna crack his fingers. He's gonna take off his gloves,
Mr. Cunch.
He's gonna change them
out. What's
gonna
be great is if somebody bleeps that every time it's said.
If Lucas is editing this, yes, absolutely.
Cunch takes the staff and kind of lines it up. All right, I'm gonna push you. Are you ready?
I love it. Fucking love it.
Hit! I get plus one. This roll. 11.
Yeah. I mean, sure. You go sliding across. You kind of clip the funerary buyer, and you're kind of slammed up next to the shaman who is, like, now just sort of...
It's Elric.
Oh, sorry. Elric. But he is
Ulric.
A shaman.
Ulric's a shaman. Elric is tax collector.
I wish you'd make up your mind. I gotcha.
Who did I just push? What's your character's name?
The halfling, Chip McCracken.
Cunch will say, Chip, do you want this staff? You could push yourself off the frozen fella.
It's not a bad idea.
Here it comes! And he throws it.
Sure, make me another throw. Let's see how close this actually gets to him. Playing goddamn curling out here.
That's an 8. Catch it now! Flies off.
So it clatters off about 30 feet from you in the wrong direction. It's laying somewhere in between you and him.
Yeah.
Reach
Daniel. Make me another fort save.
15.
You feel like you could maybe move a few feet. You can get to Jeff's character at this point. But at this point, you're just, like, crawling like it's the hardest thing that's ever happened in your life.
Can he get to the staff?
Make me a luck roll.
Oh, yeah.
In which case, you roll a d20 and you try and roll your luck score, I believe,
like under
is how
the
that...
Luck,
yeah,
right?
You need to roll under your luck score.
Nope, 15.
Damn.
You take 2 points of damage as the air is, like, just burning in your lungs. Everything is so... fucking cold.
For the listening audience, Daniel just crossed out that character.
Mr. Chip, Chip McCracken.
Yep.
You're starting to feel very cold. How about a fort save?
Even with the body?
I'll take it into account.
No, you won't.
I'll let you roll a d24. Does that make you feel better?
Yes, that would make me feel better.
The body is cooling rapidly since you slid across the ice on his bare ass.
That was a what? I'm sorry.
A fortitude save.
That's a 6.
You similarly are starting to feel bound up by the cold.
Okay.
Get the staff, Chip. I threw it right to you.
So you're kind of backed up against this funerary buyer, and you just watch this guy who spent all of about 60 seconds in this room expire beside you. He's
rapidly... He didn't have a flesh cocoon.
You could see, like, the his eyes are like starting to freeze up slowly.
Yeah.
Like he's like reaching out to you. Sweat on his face is frozen. You are similarly starting to feel very cold.
Oh yeah, yeah. All right, I'm gonna. I need to try and get to the door or to the possible passageway. Is the staff somewhere where I can?
I'll say it's somewhere in between you and it's somewhere in between you and the door where everyone else is.
That's what I thought.
But you're trying to get to the other side?
Yeah.
I'll say, no, Cunch will say, Chip, kick off of the frozen man like a seal. And I'll do like a seal. Like a seal.
I like how this whole time Bub or whatever is holding his lantern over trying to illuminate this. Our title track, Bustin' Loose with Lead, is used under Creative Commons Attribution 4 International License and was produced by Jason Shaw at Audionautix.com. Like what you just heard? Let us know on Twitter at @Rancors_Brothel or send us a message on Facebook at the Rancors Brothel page. Want more content? Subscribe to our podcast on any major platform or visit RancorsBrothel.com for hundreds of other RPG actual play podcast episodes. Enjoy sharing memes and talking nerdy? Hit up other listeners on the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Thanks for listening. Keep circulating the tapes.